Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu. Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Meghna Chakrabarty, and this is On Point. Can a famed law professor serve on the defense team of the nation's highest profile Me Too case and also adequately serve the needs of university students under his care? Well, that is one of the questions at the center of a controversy that's erupted at Harvard University. It involves law professor Ronald Sullivan. He's done some of the nation's most important criminal justice work on behalf of the wrongly incarcerated. And until recently, he was also on Harvey Weinstein's defense team. Sullivan was also the faculty head of a Harvard dorm, that is, until students demanded his removal. Here's Harvard student Phoebe Su at a protest at the dorm earlier this month.
As a survivor of sexual assault, I don't feel safe in Winthrop House. Because of Dean Sullivan's decision to represent Harvey Weinstein, I don't feel welcome here.
Well, this month, Harvard announced that Sullivan will not be House Dean next year. And we should say he remains on the law school faculty. But why does any of this matter beyond the brick and ivy corners of one of America's most elite universities? Well, some of Sullivan's defenders say here's a moment where campus culture and the Me Too movement may be running headlong into a foundational principle of the American legal system, that everyone, even the most unsavory of clients, deserves a vigorous defense. This hour on Point, the case of Harvard House Dean Ronald Sullivan. And you can join us when the national push to make society safe from sexual predators runs into foundational principles of the justice system. How do we resolve that? And is there really a conflict here to begin with? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. And we should say here that we invited Professor Sullivan and representatives of Harvard University to join us this hour. Professor Sullivan didn't get back to us, and Harvard University declined. But we will begin with Stephanie Ebert. She's a reporter for the Boston Globe who has been following the story. She joins us from Boston. Stephanie, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Meghna.
So first of all, just sort of give us a little sense about who Ronald Sullivan is and his importance in the world of not just academic law, but in criminal defense.
Sure. He is very influential and very well regarded, both on Harvard's campus and nationally. We know him locally as part of the team that handled the Aaron Hernandez double murder trial and won an acquittal there for the late New England Patriot. He has been he was the first African American faculty dean who was named at Harvard, and he leads a criminal defense project at Harvard. He's very he's seen as very high profile. In fact, he even represented Rose McGowan, who is one of Harvey Weinstein's fiercest accusers when she had a drug possession case last year. So he's been in the news before.
Right. And he's taken up a lot of cases that have made quite a difference in American law, right? He represented the family of Michael Brown after Ferguson, right? And also he is credited with having created a system of analysis of cases, I think, in New York that led to the release or the freedom of many wrongfully incarcerated prisoners, right?
Right.
Yeah. So he's a very well-known legal expert here. So until recently, in addition to that, he was also the faculty head of a Harvard dorm. Now, what's the problem here?
I think that in itself was the problem for students when the news came out that he was going to be part of Harvey Weinstein's legal defense team. It's quite a different thing at Harvard, the way the faculty deans operate and kind of run this residential space for undergrads. And so students were reacting to that news, which surprised them when it first came out in January. and trying to make the distinction that in that capacity, Ron Sullivan was playing more of kind of a pastoral role in advising students, and that he had oversight of matters like sexual assault, and that they were upset to see him presenting himself as kind of a defender, both in the legal capacity and in a spokesman capacity. He had also spoken up in defense of another Harvard professor who had been accused of sexual misconduct, and people found that problematic with his role as an advisor to students within Winthrop House, where he was faculty dean.
Right. So some students were saying that all that you just underlined amounted to Sullivan creating an unwelcoming or even unsafe atmosphere in this Harvard dormitory that he was, you know, the faculty head of. I mean, I just want to hear the voice of, for example, the representative from the Association of Black Harvard Women. They were amongst groups that held a sit-in at Winthrop House in the dining hall earlier this month.
Survivors and allies alike have been forced to understand that to this administration, not even our voices amount to much. If they did, Harvard wouldn't actively harbor proponents of this detrimental culture by maintaining faculty such as Ron Sullivan on their staff. As a freshman, I first heard about Dean Sullivan not for his accomplishments as one of the leading black lawyers in the nation. Instead, I was acquainted with his character through his words concerning sexual assault survivors that would be negatively impacted by his decision to represent Weinstein.
That's a student from the Harvard, the Black Harvard Women, from the Association of Black Harvard Women. Stephanie, what did Harvard ultimately decide to do?
Ultimately, they decided not to renew his appointment as a faculty dean, which was rather surprising since the dispute had gone on throughout the semester. And there had been a lot of tension on campus and a lot of difficulty among critics and defenders of Ron Sullivan's roles on campus and in the Weinstein trial. And that, of course, has caused great consternation, not just here but nationally, among those who are looking at this situation and feeling as if students are not understanding the import of the justice system, of representation, that, you know, this is Harvard, so we have at least three constitutional principles at stake here, is what I've been saying. It's kind of remarkable to see the reaction to this somewhat campus event.
Mm. Well, Stephanie Ebert, reporter for the Boston Globe, thanks so much for joining us, Stephanie.
Absolutely. Thank you.
All right. Well, I want to turn now to Randall Kennedy. He joins me in the studio today. He's a professor at Harvard Law School, where Ronald Sullivan, of course, also teaches. Professor Kennedy wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times that ran under the title Harvard Betrays a Law Professor and Itself. And we have a link to that at onpointradio.org. Professor Kennedy, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
We will be hearing from a Harvard student in a couple of minutes. But first of all, make your case here, Professor Kennedy. Why do you think Harvard's betraying a law professor and itself in removing Ronald Sullivan from being the head of a Harvard dorm?
There is no inconsistency between being a faculty dean of a house at Harvard University and at the same time being a criminal defense attorney for Harvey Weinstein. The reason why I've gotten so upset about this is because many of the comments coming from some of the dissident students and some of the comments coming from the Harvard administration and the overall approach of the Harvard administration seems to suggest that it is per se disqualifying to be a faculty dean and to represent Harvey Weinstein. And it seems to me that that's profoundly mistaken.
Well, so the argument is that the duties and the responsibilities of the faculty head of a community where undergraduate students live, eat, and socialize is a profound one. That they need mm-hmm. they are charged with creating a space that maximizes the learning and living of these students, and that it is. Many students or some students felt that that was impossible. Survivors of sexual assault felt that that was impossible, that they intrinsically felt unsafe or unheard because not only of Sullivan's former representation of Weinstein, but his other comments regarding, you know, other cases at Harvard. Why is that not a legitimate argument?
I think we need to ask ourselves, how should we react when students, or for that matter, anybody else, say that they feel something? I mean, just suppose, for instance, that we had students who said that I feel very unsafe or unwelcome because a faculty dean is white, or a faculty dean is black, or a faculty dean is, you can just fill in the blank, an atheist, a Catholic. The fact of the matter is that people have all sorts of various, they have various identities. Professor Sullivan is a professor. He's also a lawyer. I mean, would students, just suppose Professor Sullivan was a surgeon and had operated on Harvey Weinstein. Would they get upset there by saying that, you know, you're extending the man's life? I mean, I simply don't understand. I disagree with the way in which the university is actually failing, in my view, to educate the students. It's not enough to have a feeling. You can have an initial feeling. We all have initial feelings, but sometimes we need to reconsider our initial feelings.
But let's just hit this head on, because Harvard sent us an email back when they declined to join us on the air, saying that Harvard fully endorses and forever supports the foundational legal principle that everyone deserves a vigorous defense. Mm-hmm. They say that's not even the issue here. But are you saying that in the decision the university has made, that they in fact have dealt a blow to that idea, that cornerstone of American jurisprudence?
Clearly they have. The students said, we don't want Ron Sullivan here anymore because he's representing Harvey Weinstein. The response of the administration is, oh, that's very serious. Then a couple of months later, they don't renew the contract of Ron Sullivan. It seems to me that the university has clearly ratified to a large degree the position of the dissident students who said that Ron Sullivan's representation of Weinstein is disqualified.
Well, we are talking about what's happened at Harvard University, about campus culture, about the Me Too movement, and about criminal defense. We'll be right back. This is On Point.
Support for the On Point podcast comes from Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform that lets you find candidates fast. Ditch the busy work and use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/onpoint. That's Indeed.com/onpoint. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about Me Too, campus culture, and a cornerstone of the American legal system, the idea that everyone deserves a vigorous defense, and whether, in the case of Harvard professor Ronald Sullivan, those things have now come into conflict. In a couple of minutes, we'll hear from a Harvard University student. But right now, I'm joined by Randall Kennedy. He's a professor at Harvard Law School, where Professor Ronald Sullivan also teaches. And I should underscore that Professor Sullivan retains his faculty position at Harvard Law School. It is his position as the head of a Harvard dorm that has not been renewed. Now, Professor Kennedy, I do want to just explore something a little further, interrogate you even, if I may. Tell me more about why you think there isn't a conflict here, because I think there is an argument to be made that the requirement or what is needed to do an excellent job as the head of a Harvard dorm may in this case actually be in conflict with what is required to be an excellent defense attorney for someone like Harvey Weinstein. And, you know, I think lawyers all the time recuse themselves from cases when there's material conflict of interest. In this case, there's no material conflict. But why isn't there a professional conflict here?
I don't see a professional conflict. Ron Sullivan has certain virtues that make him a very fine attorney. He's a good listener. He's insightful. He's observant. He has all sorts of qualities that people admire. These are qualities, it seems to me, that would be very useful, very good for a faculty dean to have, for the head of a dormitory to have. If I had a child in that dormitory, I'd be happy to have my child be mentored by, talk with, engage in debates with a Ron Sullivan.
Well, some of the students have said in reporting around this story that the problem is that they feel – this is getting back to feelings, but it's the it's really at the heart of this, that they feel if they – you know, some of them are survivors of sexual assault. Others say if indeed something did happen, they did not feel that they could go to Professor Sullivan for counsel, advice, et cetera,
and
because of this.
And they should be told that their feelings are erroneous. That's what they should be told. And by the way, let's just fill out the story a bit. I mean, in the Boston Globe, a while ago, in discussing this issue, it was pointed out that there are people who are survivors of harassment and assault who have said, actually, Professor Sullivan was very helpful to them. He was very empathetic, very helpful, willing to represent them pro bono. I mean, this is not a person, you know, without a track record in which he has been extremely helpful to students of all sorts who've gotten into difficulty. And remember, again, my position is that simply serving as the defense attorney for Harvey Weinstein should not in and of itself be disqualifying. In my view, part of what's going on here is an anger at him because of a view that he's not going far enough in ostracizing Weinstein. Part of what's going on here is a question of limits on ostracism. And I think that one of the things that's animating me and other law professors is a notion that while ostracism is an important and oftentimes good force in society, it can go too far. And if you are going to take it to the extreme of putting pressure on somebody who is simply serving as a defense attorney, if you're going to actually oust that person from their position as a faculty dean, then that's taking ostracism too far.
So I continuously think to myself, okay, why should anyone outside of one particular corner of Cambridge, Massachusetts care about this? I mean, this is the fundamental question that I want to be sure to explore throughout this hour. And I look to, for example, Jeannie Sook Gerson, who wrote in The New Yorker about this, also a law professor as well, who writes, quote, "There is now such a stigma attached to people accused of sexual misconduct that anyone who defends legal principles on their behalf risks being mistaken in the public mind for a defender of sexual violence." What do you think?
Well, I think that she's right. And I think that's one of the things that has triggered such a strong reaction on the part of people who are deeply disappointed with Harvard University over this matter.
Well, let's take a quick call here. Let's go to Maria, who's calling from Worcester, Massachusetts. Maria, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Just to preface my comments, I am an attorney. I'm also a mother. I would not feel comfortable with Mr. Sullivan being the head of a dorm father, basically in loco parentis, for one of my daughters attending college. And I find it amazing that your commentator said that people should be told that their feelings are erroneous. If you have either a young woman or a young man faced with a crisis in their life, for example, a sexual assault in a dorm, I don't think that that person should have to go to an individual who is the head of the faculty, head of the house, in order to present a complaint or even present a complaint to others, knowing that that individual has authority over even just the policy in the house or the approach in the house to sexual assault.
Maria, can I just ask you a quick question here? I have just a couple of quick questions,
sure.
And I appreciate your call a lot. Why is it that this one case? And by the way, we should say that on the same day that Harvard announced that it wasn't going to have Sullivan as the head of a dorm anymore, he also stepped away from Harvey Weinstein's defense team. But why is it that this one case overwhelms, in your mind, Sullivan's entire professional record prior to that?
I don't think it overwhelms his entire professional record, but what it means to me is that he has very extremely poor judgment. If I were in his position, knowing that I were, the faculty head of a house, I would have declined to take, the job for Weinstein. Harvey Weinstein, believe me, has plenty of other capable mm-hmm. attorneys throughout the country who can represent him, many of whom I'm sure are even at Harvard.
Yeah. Well, did Ronald Sullivan evince poor professional judgment when he defended Aaron Hernandez? I mean, that's a double murder, a double murderer.
Well, again, are any other young people coming to him for advice and counsel or to present, similar complaints about potentially being murdered? No.
Oh, okay.
I mean, this is a gentleman who has, a position and authority over a housing situation where people, I have to focus on the comment that feelings are erroneous.
Mm-hmm.
Feelings are not erroneous. Feelings are feelings. And I think your commentator should talk to a psychologist about this. He could very well quell folks who have been abused legitimately coming forward in that dorm.
Well, Maria, thank you for your call. So, Professor Randall Kennedy, first of all, respond to where Maria left off about objecting.
We just have a disagreement. I think that feelings can be erroneous. Feelings often are erroneous. Just because somebody says that their feelings are hurt, just because somebody says, by the way, I am fearful. Maybe at point one they are fearful, and you might ask, well, why do you feel fearful? Draw them out. Why do you feel fearful? Under what plausible circumstances could going to this person as faculty dean be detrimental to you? It might very well be that after a conversation, somebody changes their mind. I've certainly changed my feelings about things. I've changed my mind about things. I'm sure that many people have. So I don't think that simply because somebody says, I feel such and such, that that puts an end to the discussion.
Well, but I think Maria was saying that, in fact, it's not the feeling that puts the end to the discussion, but the sense that they could not have the discussion with Ronald Sullivan because of who he's chosen to defend.
Well, in that sense, if someone says, I'm not going to even engage with this person because of who they're representing, I would hope that someone would go to that student and say, listen, you really shouldn't proceed in that way. There are all sorts of fine people who have represented all sorts of other people whom you would, and probably rightly, revile. You need to understand what an attorney does, the position of an attorney in our society. The attorney is not the client.
Well, let's hear from a student now. Let's turn now to Remedy Ryan. She joins us from Riviera Beach, Florida. She's a sophomore at Harvard University, and she co-authored an editorial in the Harvard student newspaper, the Harvard Crimson, headlined Harvard Remove Dean Sullivan. We have a link to that at onpointradio.org. Remedy Ryan, welcome to you.
Hi, Meghna. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for joining us. Why don't you respond directly to what Professor Kennedy just left us with, that there is this implication that students who demanded Professor Sullivan's removal as the head of a Harvard dorm are simply painting with too broad a brush here, that there's a guilt by association going on. What's your response to that?
Sure. Well, I would say that the situation in Winthrop House this semester was that survivors were hurt by Dean Sullivan taking this case and felt like it was insensitive to their needs as students and as survivors who lived in that house. And I would say in response to Professor Kennedy that, Dean Sullivan isn't just a law school professor. He's in charge of and lives in an undergraduate dorm with 400 students who don't choose to be in that house, who are randomly assigned. At a school where rates of sexual assault and harassment are extremely high. And so I think that having the feeling that, your voice isn't going to be heard and that this that Sullivan's decision to represent Weinstein, you know, was going to negatively affect you, it's a completely legitimate feeling. And I would add that it wasn't just what initially occurred hearing about the case that led to such an unwelcoming environment in Winthrop House. It was also Dean Sullivan's response to criticism in the months that followed. Dean Sullivan sent multiple emails criticizing students who were against this, criticizing student protests, and criticizing the Crimson's coverage of this case. And then as the semester went on, student activists were also retaliated against, including my friend Donu, having a police report filed against her, and then her house dean being sued in a lawsuit as a result of her activism, of Donna's activism. So I think that there were a lot of things that kind of went into the situation here in which students felt uncomfortable.
Right. So let me ask you, Remedy. I'm curious to explore sort of all the dimensions of this and how far it might go, because given everything that you said, do you think Professor Sullivan can serve the needs of any of his students, including those he teaches at Harvard Law School? I mean, should he be teaching at all? Because ostensibly what you said, it should apply to students in his classroom as well. So should he be teaching?
No, I don't think that this really has much of an implication on his role as a professor at the law school. I think that this was unique to his role as a house dean, and the fact that you know, students in the house felt uncomfortable and then didn't feel comfortable at house events and just in the house in general because of Sullivan's decision to take this case and then his reaction.
Here's why I'm asking this question very particularly, because I hear you say again that discomfort, insensitivity, hurt, and these legitimate feelings. But I don't. But you know, if I'm a student sitting in a classroom and professor, you know, in a criminal defense class, for example, and I this is a hypothetical, and I was a survivor of sexual assault, and he was teaching this very class. You can imagine students feeling hurt. That you can imagine them feeling that he's being insensitive by taking the Weinstein case. You can imagine that they feel like they're not heard. And in fact, he possibly even has more power over them because he's their professor directly. So I'm just wondering why it applies in the case of being a house dean, but not a professor. Why do you just draw the line anywhere? I'm trying to understand that.
Well, I think that as undergrads, our position was that it affected students' role in an undergraduate house, and I think that it is a little bit different because that's where you live. You're there all the time. You see your house dean on a daily basis, and they do oversee they do have a role in Title IX cases and other disciplinary cases at Harvard. And you also don't choose to be in the house that you're in.
You're just
assigned
to it.
You can choose to be in a classroom. So I think that that's kind of where the discrepancy is. But obviously, as undergrads, this was, you know, the position that we took as activists.
So earlier in the show, Professor Kennedy offered some other hypotheticals. You know, he said if, say the person we were talking about was a med school professor or a surgeon and had done a surgery on Harvey Weinstein, would that disqualify him from, you know, being the head of a Harvard dorm? Or I'll give you a completely different example as well. Again, purely hypothetical, but I'm thinking, like, what if someone from the Harvard Divinity School was the head of a Harvard dorm, and they lectured and wrote extensively about their analysis of the theological arguments in opposition to abortion rights. That would certainly make some students uncomfortable. You know, would that be disqualifying?
I just don't really think it's the same thing. I mean, I think that this whole argument of academic freedom is kind of a red herring in this situation. Mm-hmm. I think it is very specific to how students felt in the house. And also Dean Sullivan's just statements about sexual assault and the Me Too movement in general. I think earlier in the show, I think Stephanie talked about how his comments about Roland Fryer, in which he said it shows the current Me Too movement, it shows what the current Me Too movement, some blood in the water and good coaching of witnesses can produce, in response to a Harvard Title IX case in which women had come out about harassment from a specific professor. And so I think, like, yeah. I think his taking Weinstein's case in combination with that statement about Harvard's Title IX processes made students feel like they couldn't necessarily trust Dean Sullivan in a position as someone who has control over their own Title IX procedures.
Well, Remedy Ryan, hang on here for just a second, and Randall Kennedy, hold on as well. We have to take a quick break, and we'll come right back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.
Did you kill Marlene Johnson?
I think you're one of the first people to have actually asked.
From WBUR and ZSP Media, this is Beyond All Repair, a new podcast about an unsolved murder that will leave you questioning everything.
Somebody should be in jail for murdering my sister.
A woman who's never been believed.
As long as they think I have done this, then they're not looking for who actually did this.
And that's what makes it a cold case.
No, it's a botched case.
And a search for the truth, once and for all.
Wow, it just gets more interesting.
Beyond All Repair. Listen and follow wherever you get your podcasts.
Be careful. You're digging in a place that's been very peaceful for a while.
Do it anyway. Dig.
Hi, On Point listeners. I'm poet and author Shinyi Pai. As you celebrate Asian American Pacific Islander Heritage Month, I invite you to listen to the 10,000 Things podcast from KUOW and the NPR Network. 10,000 Things is a podcast about modern artifacts of Asian American life, ordinary objects that tell extraordinary stories and reveal something profound about the experience of being Asian in America. Find 10,000 Things from KUOW and the NPR Network, wherever you get your podcasts.
This is On Point. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We're talking this hour about the Me Too movement, about campus culture, and about a cornerstone of the American legal system, and that is that everyone deserves a vigorous criminal defense, and whether these three are possibly in conflict at Harvard University right now. I'm joined today by Remedy Ryan. She's a sophomore at Harvard, and she co-authored an editorial in the Harvard Crimson headlined Harvard Removed Dean Sullivan. We have a link to that at onpointradio.org. Randall Kennedy also joins us as well. He's a professor at Harvard Law School, and he wrote an opinion piece in the New York Times under the headline Harvard Betrays a Law Professor and Itself. Again, that link is at onpointradio.org, and I just want to underscore again, we invited Professor Ronald Sullivan and also, officials from Harvard University. Harvard declined. Professor Sullivan did not get back to us. But Randall Kennedy, let me turn to you. You heard Remedy Ryan talking about her view of the specifics of this case and why those specifics really matter. Mm-hmm. But I also want to expand it a little bit here and just ask you about responding to what Remedy's saying, that there is a fundamental gap between what students need and what Professor Sullivan could have provided them. What do you think?
Two things. First of all, in this discussion, I don't want to lose sight of a very important fact. And the very important fact is that sexual harassment and sexual assault is a big problem in our society. It's a big problem on campuses. Our institutions have failed people in not addressing that problem. More needs to be done about that problem. So said, let's put a big punctuation mark, three punctuation marks after that. That's point one. Point two is, however, again, we get back to the question. Ms. Ryan said that it was insensitive to students' needs for Professor Sullivan to represent Harvey Weinstein. I've talked with students, and I've been reading about this development. I would like to know a little bit more. How was it insensitive to their needs? I can imagine people maybe disagreeing with his decision, disagreeing with his choice. But in what sense? I don't see where him simply taking on this client is disrespectful to students, is repudiating students in any significant way at all. It seems to me that he is doing something that is in keeping with his professional and academic responsibilities and provides actually a wonderful occasion for there to be general discussion about this subject. I don't see how in the world it should make somebody feel badly, how it should make somebody feel unsafe, how it should make somebody feel unheard.
Remedy, Ryan, would you like to respond to that?
Yeah, I guess how I respond is, you know, Professor Kennedy said earlier that, you know, he thought that Ronald Sullivan would provide, like, would be able to provide support for survivors even while he was doing this. But, you know, what actually happened in Winthrop House was that Dean Sullivan attacked and criticized the students who did, you know, express that they were upset about this. And I think it was also reported in the Crimson that, you know, a house tutor was, you know, accused of rallying up student support against Dean Sullivan after they were just telling her how they, you know, felt upset about this. So I think that whether or not, I don't think that it's possible to, you know, want to defend your decisions and also support students at the same time. You know, what happened in the house was that students weren't supported and said they were attacked and criticized.
Right. Well, so Professor Kennedy, let me put it this way, that perhaps students feel their needs are not met, that they're unsupported, for the very reasons why the Me Too movement exists to begin with, right? It is the eruption of the acknowledgement that survivors of sexual assault at school, on campuses, in the workplace, haven't been heard, haven't been believed, that that the perpetrators of these assaults have very frequently been very powerful men who've gone out of their way to use even the legal system to banish and punish people who dare speak out about the traumas that have been perpetrated on them. And so that is the bigger one of the bigger contexts here. And within that context, it's not out of the realm of possibility that a student, and we're talking someone who's, you know, 18 to 21 years old, might feel deeply uncomfortable speaking to a professorial adult who has decided to defend the highest profile perpetrator, alleged perpetrator of this, the things that that gave birth to this very movement.
That's right.
That is why their needs are not being met.
Well, but that's no. Everything, I agree. I think your description was right on
until
the last sentence. Because let's assume that everything that you just said is true. Then the question is, how should an institution of higher learning respond? I mean, because people have been oppressed in various ways, does it mean that anything that they feel or say or do is okay? It seems to me that the proper thing to say would be that it's absolutely true. The legal system, the social system has been sexist, sometimes misogynistic, has been indifferent. All of that is terrible. Now, what do we do in the face of that?
Mm-hmm.
We have a person who is accused of a crime. And we need to say that, too, by the way. He is accused of a crime. He has not been tried. At this point, he has the presumption of innocence, Harvey Weinstein. He has now sought the legal advice of Ron Sullivan. The question is, what inferences do we make when Ron Sullivan gives to Harvey Weinstein legal advice? What inferences do we make when a lawyer gives legal advice to somebody who is jailed in Guantanamo, who is accused of being a terrorist? What inferences do we make when Zanarev had someone who was advising him? By the way, one of Zanarev's attorneys was a law professor. What inferences do we make when people give legal advice? I think what we say to the students is, let's be careful here. Let's understand distinctions. Let's not allow our emotions to just wash everything else away. Distinctions are important to make. It would be wrong for you to think that simply because Ron Sullivan is giving legal advice to Harvey Weinstein, that Ron Sullivan is embracing everything that Harvey Weinstein's ever done in his life.
Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Steve, who's calling from Jefferson City, Missouri. Steve, you're on the air.
Thank you very much. I wonder if Professor Alan Dershowitz, in today's climate, would be permitted to defend Hans von Bülow. Hans von Bülow, yes. And there was an Academy Award-winning movie made about why Professor Dershowitz was upholding the highest principles of American jurisprudence. And why should anybody in a small section of Cambridge, the whole country should be concerned, because it's alarming that academia and the media seem to be legitimizing and mainstreaming Stalinism, pure and simple. And today the mob turns on Professor Sullivan. Tomorrow it may be Professor Kennedy. And someday it may even be Remedy Ryan that the mob turns on.
Well, Steve,
can I make a point?
Yeah, let me just say thank you for your call, Steve. Go ahead, Remedy.
Yeah. I don't think that this isn't about a bunch of students turning on a professor. This isn't about academic freedom being attacked. This is about what was happening in a house very specifically. And what Professor Kennedy has been talking about has been, ideally, what would happen in the situation where, a house dean took a controversial case. But what actually happened was that students were attacked and were criticized. And, we were told that we didn't know anything about the law, and that the student activism that was happening on the campus, was illegitimate, and that the reporting of the Crimson was, wrong. And so I think that what actually happened was that there was an attack on students and on student voices, and I think that Dean Sullivan being removed in this case was completely made complete sense.
Right. Remedy, just let me jump in here. And Professor Kennedy, I know you want to respond to that, and I'll give you a brief chance to, but I also want to get at least one more call before we run out of time. But go ahead, Professor Kennedy.
I simply want to say I'm not going to – there are lots of facts running around. There are lots of issues on the table. I'm posing one point, and my point is simply that it should not be disqualifying per se – for Dean Sullivan to represent Harvey Weinstein. That is my narrow but I think important position.
Okay. Well, I do want to get at least one more caller here before we run out of time. So let me go to Eric, who's calling from Augusta, Georgia. Eric, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi. I'm a retired senior military officer, and I wanted to comment on the similarities between campus life and military life and how the military handles it. And unfortunately, I do think that the professor should not be allowed in this position. The issue in the military is that anybody that has any influence in the reporting of sexual assault probably hampers the ability for, accurate reporting and so forth. And the military has taken great pains to have victims' advocates and so forth. And I'm sure you've heard the news, but there's still a problem. I would suggest that any suggestion of conflicts or anything that might blunt the ability of someone to go forward with a sexual assault claim or, advocate on behalf of a victim or a topic would be problematic. And while it may be unfair to the professor as an individual, I don't think someone should be in that role, and I would suggest that institutions much bigger than Harvard have already kind of settled that issue.
Right. Well, Eric, thank you for your call. Let me get Professor Kennedy to respond to that.
I don't really have much of a response. It seems to me that the position of a university and the position of the United States military, just on its face, so different. It's hard for me to. I really don't have much more to say.
Why? Are
well,
so
I mean,
different?
in the sense, I mean, military culture is military culture. What we're talking about is whether a person who, in his academic life, Ron Sullivan, by the way, is the head of the criminal defense clinic at Harvard University's law school. So again, if you're going to say that somebody representing someone like Harvey Weinstein is disqualified from being a faculty dean, that means, I suppose, that there could never be a faculty dean who is, a criminal defense attorney at Harvard Law School. Do we want to say that? It seems to me that the answer should be no, we don't want to say that.
Remedy Ryan, I have another question for you here, because this the centrality of student need and student perception and feeling here can't be overstated. But I wonder, I mean, we're also talking about Harvard University students, in a sense, some of the most elite and privileged people in the United States, America's future leaders. And I'm looking here at a quote from a Harvard professor, a computer science professor, Harry Lewis, who said that one of the duties of residential life at a university like Harvard isn't just, to create a comfortable learning environment, but it's also to create an environment where students are engaging in a spirit of civic optimism. Those are his words, where people, even with people whose decisions and actions you find disagreeable. And he says, quote, that sometimes competing commitments to individual freedom and the common good have to happen, but it requires rejecting the view, quote, that discord is intolerable and personal comfort is supreme. What do you think about that?
Right. Well, I think this is a case where this isn't about academic life. This is about residential life.
Well, that's what he's saying. That's what Harry Lewis is saying, specifically that residential life, one of the duties of residential life at a place like Harvard is to teach America's future leaders how to live with discord.
I think it's one thing to live with discord and to live with disagreement. I think it's another thing to live as a sexual assault survivor at a university that's already been historically bad at dealing with complaints of sexual assault, that still hasn't, that still refuses to give the Harvard Graduate Student Union, protections for sexual harassment and discrimination in their contract, it hasn't historically supported sexual assault survivors, mm-hmm. and then expect students to live in a house with someone who is, defending a client who's a known sexual harasser, who, regardless of whether or not he's found innocent or guilty in court, has said that he used his power dynamic and to cause harm to women, has admitted to that.
Well, we've got about 45 seconds here left, and I just want to toss one last quick question to Professor Kennedy here. We can talk about the student's perspective. We can talk about Professor Sullivan's perspective. But I think at the core of it is a critique, your critique of how Harvard University has handled this, right? I mean, again, I look at Jeannie Sook Gerson in The New Yorker, who says that when the views of thinking people, whether lawyers, teachers, et cetera, are determined by a self-assessed risk of losing jobs or social standing, it doesn't take a totalitarian government to repress thoughts. We've done it to ourselves. I mean, would you go so far as to say that's what Harvard has done in handling this?
I think Harvard has acted badly in this. It should remember it is a university. It should be about teaching, and sometimes when you teach, you do enter into conflict. And, I don't think that Harvard should defer to feelings so readily. I think that we need to be very careful. We need to be respectful, but there is also a problem of the tyranny of feeling. Thinking should triumph here.
Well, Professor Randall Kennedy and Remedy Ryan, thank you both so much for joining us today. There's a lot of information about this case at our website, onpointradio.org. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is On Point.